he comes, there'll be no one to save. Here for you, oh Lord. So come and do what you do. So let your glory come and astound us, oh Lord. Put us in awe of your great works. Put us in awe of your wonder. Lacking words, but full of wonders. Come for us, oh Lord. Speak to us. Affect our lives. Encounter everyone here today to the glory of your name alone. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Please have your seat, friends of the living God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You're welcome to church. I want to give glory to the Almighty God for granting me the privilege to stand before you today and to bring the word of God to you. And I'm also grateful to the leadership of the church for that privilege. Now, as you know that this year is a year of exponential. And this month is a month of divine encounter. And for people that are expectant of divine encounter, today, I'm going to be talking to us about divine encounter for exponential growth. And I pray that none of us here today will escape divine encounter from God. Amen. So, the first thing I would like to tell you quickly is that, see, when we come to God, God does not have to prove any point to any one of us. God himself is enough. So, there is nothing that you need God to do for you to prove that he's God. So don't think that, I'm waiting for God to do something so that I can now know that he's God. God is above us, is above every one of us, and he doesn't have to prove any point to anyone. He is God. So let that be clear in our mind that God does not have anything to prove. He's God. He's above you. So there's nothing you can do. It's nothing. You have to settle with that. You have to set within this life that you have, which if you live very long to with painful 100, because it's painful by then, that's this. You have to settle, live with that fact. But then you have to come to God just because God is God. That's why we are here. So I've broken the point into very quick 7 points, and then I hope that at the end of it that we will pray. So my first point is, if we're talking about divine encounter, what is divine encounter? And I want us to read Genesis 32 from 24 to 30 to understand what a divine encounter is. So I don't know if you can help me put that scripture up. Genesis 32, 24 to 30. And we'll read it quickly so that we understand what a divine encounter is. What is it? When we say divine encounter, what does it mean? Hallelujah. The Bible said, and Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Move on. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask for my name? And he blessed him there. Now, there's no need to read the last part. This was Jacob having an encounter with God. And the main purpose of this encounter was to bless Jacob. And you can see that this Jacob started this struggle with God, with his name being Jacob. But at the end of it, his name was changed to Israel. God arranged this meeting specifically to change his name. And divine encounter is a special visit by God for a special purpose. God is with you every day, but God's presence is not always divine encounter. When you woke up, when you're in the bathroom, you're driving to work, all of that, God is with you. But God arranged some special meeting to do something in your life. And that is what a divine encounter is. If you look through scripture, you see several of it. He met Abraham and he said, no, your name will no longer be called Abraham. It will not be called Abraham because you're going to be father of many nations. He did the same to Sarai. So God arranged those special meetings just for a specific purpose. So that's what a divine encounter is, when a meeting between God and human for a special purpose. Now, moving on, point number two. Divine encounter, God uses divine encounter to realign our life. Now, if you look at, I think they've been preaching a lot from Isaiah 54. And if there's anyone here who has not had opportunity to read that scripture, please just go and read it from beginning to the end. I read it again yesterday. I said, this is so encouraging. He said, go and enlarge your tent. Get ready. It seems as if God was just so, I don't know, it was too comforting, too encouraging that God had this much promises. The reassurance was too much. But do you know that as much as God wants you to prosper, it's possible that you may not. God is good. God is awesome. God's plan for you is good. He said it. I know the plan that I have for you is good, not evil. To give you hope, to give you expected end. But it's possible you might not have expected end. And that is not up to God. Because prophecies are like pregnancies. If you don't push, you will not deliver. Yes, because the Bible says as soon as Zion travel, if it's not possible that you will deliver without. Yeah. Except they do CS. But it's possible to miscarry God's promise. So, as much as God wants you to prosper, it might not happen. So we veer off out of his will. We go and separate. You know, a lot of things happen. And many times, God would not have to arrange like a divine encounter to bring you back. To say, the way this guy is going. He told Peter, he said, the devil wants to shift you like a... He said, but I have prayed for you. Because the way your life is going, you are going to deny me and you will go and carry your net and go back to fishing. But I have to arrange encounter to change. And that's why he met him. He said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He has to come back to come and say, this guy, I really, really have to be particular about you. So many times God arranged encounters to realign our life. That's point number two. What's the next one? Point number three. Now, divine encounters are personal. It is possible that somebody is laughing beside you, person is pressing their phone, and you are having a divine encounter. It's possible that somebody came to church today. It's even the youth. Let me just look at my Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then you are dumb scrolling, and somebody beside you is having divine encounter. It is very possible. I want us to read this scripture. Mark 5, 24 to 31. If you can help me put up that scripture and we'll read it together. Mark 5, 24 to 31. So this was the story of the woman with the issue of blood. If you can add, excellent. So if you can have it just a bit wider, just bigger, just so that we can have like more than one verse at once. So this is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And what happened was that Jesus was walking within the crowd. And as he was walking within the crowd, people were pushing him left, right, and center. Somebody, it's the Savior, let me come and see. People were just... And this woman said, "What this is what separated this woman from everyone else in the crowd." She said, "If only I could touch the hem of his garment." And what separated her was that expectation. I don't know if you had... Okay. So let's just read it together. And when she heard that Jesus came in and pressed behind him and touched his garment. Okay, but move back a bit, maybe like to 25. Yeah. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years. Okay, 26. "And he suffered many things in the hand of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." That somebody here who has suffered in the hands of many physicians. And I pray that Jesus will encounter you in a special way today and put an end to it. Amen. So when she heard of Jesus, she came, she pressed and touched his garment. But okay, move on. "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." This woman is not the only sick person that is in that crowd. She's not the only sick person that has even bumped into Jesus. But what separated this woman was she said, "If I can touch the hem of this man's garment." She came with faith, she came with expectation. And that separated her, and that was the reason for this woman's encounter. Bible says, "Straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." A similar story is in John 5, 1 to 9. This is the man at the pool of Bethesda. He has been there 38 years. He said he doesn't have anybody to put him in the water. Jesus came. When Jesus came and met this man, he said, "This woman, do you want to be healed?" The man said, "I don't even have anybody to put me in the water." Now look at first one, the woman had faith, the woman had expectation. This one is not even, he never even see Jesus as somebody that can even do anything for him. He said, "My own is, I've been here too long, I don't have anybody to put him into the water." Jesus said, "That's not what I'm telling you. Carry your mat and leave this place." And he was made whole. This one did not even have faith. And this was also in the midst of the multitude. But do you know what separated this man from the other people that were not healed? People that, it's possible that somebody has been there 37 years, somebody has been there 30 years. Do you know what separated this man? It's the mercy of God that located him. It is possible that you don't even have faith. There was somebody that didn't have faith like that. The guy that was in scripture, there was a person, somebody that was blind, and then he was made whole by Jesus, and then he went back and they were saying, is this not the blind man? They were asking him. So then the Pharisees, they wanted to hold Jesus to it. They said, this guy that made you whole is a sinner. He said, whether he's a sinner or that one, me, I don't know. They said, where is the man? He said, I don't know. He's not even a follower of Jesus. It is possible that you are here. Maybe this is even your first time in today's service. Maybe this is even your first time in CLA. Maybe you don't even, you have been following Jesus from afar. It doesn't mean that God cannot encounter you. Because the mercy of God can single someone out in the crowd. But divine encounter, they are personal. But what also implies is that it is possible for you to miss it. That it is possible that God can bless your neighbor and you'll be there. And you clap. You'll be clapping. And you say, "And I was in that service, so..." Point number four now, right? Why do people miss divine encounter? Many a times, the reason why you miss divine encounter is because you're looking for the spectacular instead of the miraculous. Now, if you read the book of 1 Kings 19, 11 to 12, this was the story of Elijah listening to hear from God. I don't know if you can put that scripture up. 1 Kings 19, 11 to 12. And I think the person that led God to worship this morning started talking about it. About how God is not always in the noise. He's not always in the pandemonium. Let's read it. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind and the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Move on. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. There's the Lord. A still small voice. You might not fall, but you've had your divine encounter that has transformed your life. Example was David. The evil Paul, at the time David was anointed as king, between when he was anointed as king and the throne, significant time, nothing changed in his life. But God has encountered him. But if you're looking for, that's why some people, they will say, no, we have to go to the place where they used to dramatize, where the pastor will just do it like this, and then you fall from left to right, and then you do it back like this, and then you fall, and then there will be plenty of broken chairs, and you still have to come and raise donations for church in service. It doesn't mean God is not always in the noise. If that is what you are, it is very easy for you to miss God if that's what you are looking for. Now, point number five. What happens when you have a divine encounter? The story of that same woman, Mark 5, verse 34. The story of that same woman, Mark 5, 34. The Bible said, so that same woman, after she was made whole, Jesus said, virtue has gone out of me. They said, which virtue? People are pressing you left, right, and center. You say, virtue has gone out. He said, what Jesus said, who touched me in this crowd? They said, people are touching you left, right, and center. What do you mean by who touched me in this place? He said, no, because a special virtue, somebody has had a special encounter in this place. Hallelujah. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Hallelujah. Like I said, you have to be careful so that you don't miss your divine encounter. So don't be looking left, right, and center. Put your focus on Jesus. Somebody can be touching God and you are looking back. But Jesus told the woman, he said, go in peace. This is the end of your suffering. Go. Divine encounter put an end to suffering. Put an end to sickness. Divine encounter also causes a change of name, a change of status. Jacob, at the beginning of that wrestle with the angel of the Lord, his name was Jacob, a cheat. But at the end of that encounter, what happened? His name has changed to Israel. Somebody that has fought with God and man and has won. A winner. He became a winner just by virtue of that encounter. Now, if you look, Jacob was on a run, running from Laban. He's not sure whether he should go back to Esau. So first, he sent plenty gifts to Esau, his brother, because he sent his wife and children and said, let me go and use these people to sacrifice and appease this man, just in case. But God met him and changed his name. This is not your life. This life of running up and down, this is not your life. I will change your name. And he changed his name. When you encounter God, your status will change. Your name will change. When you encounter God, you will have fruitfulness. Now, it came specially for Hannah. And at the end of that encounter, Hannah had a baby. It came specially for Sarah. It was so spectacular, such that even Sarah did not believe it. Because she was laughing. When they say, you have a child, Sarah said, I beg. Which one is this one again? And so the angel of the Lord said, you are laughing because I said you have a child. And she said, I did not laugh. She did laugh because she could not believe it. So when you encounter God, fruitfulness happens. When you encounter God, you are raised as kings. That's what happened to to David. David was just a boy in the bush that was shepherding goats and sheep, somebody that was supposed to be king. But God instructed Samuel, go and anoint this as my king. Now, as far as God was concerned, the day that he was anointed, he has become king over God's people. He said, I have found a man. But you know, between the I have found a man and him becoming the king is a significant gap of years. But as far as God was concerned, this is the point man for Israel. That is why, even though Saul was still in power, it had to take David to come and kill Goliath. Because that's as far as God was concerned, this is my own king over these people. Divine encounter raises kings. Divine encounter aligns our destiny. Look at the story of Moses. Somebody that God raised specifically to bring his people out of captivity. Raised specifically situated in Pharaoh's house. Just so that he can learn the language, he can learn the etiquette, he can learn how to talk to kings. He will not be afraid, he will be bold. The guy eventually ran away and he was now shepherding sheep. He now became a man. Somebody that God has raised for the deliverance of his people is at the back of the bush, S man. So it took a divine encounter for God to now say, what are you doing here? That's the story of the burning bush. That God appeared to him and said, this is not your destiny. I'm using this encounter to realign you back to where you should be. And it's possible that there are people here who are not where they are supposed to be, who are supposed to be deliverers, that are shepherding sheep. I pray that God will encounter you today. Amen. Because same with the story of Peter. When Jesus saw Peter, he looked at him and said, are you this guy? You are a fisher of men. But why are you fishing fish? We are supposed to be fishers of men. Because it's possible for you to be fishing fish when you're supposed to be fisher of men. Because if you're a fisher of men, you will not lack fish. But if you are a fisher of fish, you might lack men. The same thing happened in Acts 9, 3 to 6, encounter of Paul. Somebody that was supposed to be an apostle, a missionary to the end of the earth for God. But he was attacking the church. And he took that encounter from Jesus to realign his life. Divine encounter transforms our story. I want you to read, maybe we should read it, John 9, 8 to 12. This was the story of that same man. John 9, 8 to 12. Let's just read this one quickly. If you can help me put it up, John 9, 8 to 12. This is the story of the blind man. But let's look at how this man's story transformed. This was the man that was blind from his mother's womb. And Jesus made this man to see. So the neighbors therefore, and they which had before had seen him that he was blind, said, is it not he that sat and begged? Is this not somebody that used to see at food bank? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. Well, he woke up, he said, yes, you only know my past. Yes, I'm the one that you used to know. Therefore said they unto him, how were the eyes opened? What did he say? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus, is just one man like that. It's not even, you know, this guy, it's like, don't used to come to church regularly. So. He said, a man named Jesus, because he wasn't talking from a, like he had very, very close personal relationship with the man. He said, a man named Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Verse 12. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I don't even know the man. I don't know the man like that. Do you see how the mercy of God singled out this man? He said, I don't even know the man like that. It's like you're not even a follower of the man. He said, yes, one man like that. But his story changed. He said, all of this that people are saying, me, I know that now I can see. I'm the person that you are talking about. I can see. You know my past, but you don't know you are convinced about who I am now. Divine encounter makes you a blessing. Blesses you and makes you a blessing. That's point five, right? So let's go to point six. Divine encounter, I said, makes you a blessing. And I'll talk more about that here. When God encounters you, when you have an opportunity to meet with God, major on the major. Now, what do I mean by that? Divine encounter can be initiated by God, it can be initiated by man. In the story of the woman with the issue of blood, she initiated the encounter because she said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So she initiated it. But let me tell you, the other man, it was Jesus that initiated. Jesus went to look for the man at the pool of Bethesda. I found the man, said, you of all people, I want to make your life better. It was Jesus that initiated it. But you see, whenever an encounter happens between man and God, it doesn't matter who initiates it. It's always man that is blessed. We cannot bless God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, means praise God, oh my soul. It doesn't mean you don't have any blessing to give God. Every time, because you see, blessings respect gradients. The Bible says, surely without controversy, the lesser is blessed of the greater. What can you give God? Your wife, your clothes, your food, your whatever. What? So every time, whether you initiate or God initiate, you are always the one that live blessed. Because, like I said at the beginning, God doesn't have to do anything to prove anything to us. So he doesn't have to bless you to even prove anything to you. But if you encounter him, you are always the one that is blessed. But when you have that encounter with God, you have to major on the major. And what do I mean by that? See, life is cause and effect. Life is cause and effect. If you are a blessing, it is 100, I'm 100% certain that you are already blessed. It takes somebody that is already blessed to be a blessing. So when you meet God, if you look at the story of Solomon, after God said, now you have my attention, you've killed 100 cow, you have my attention, what do you want? He said, God, you have been good to me. I'm a small child. You've put me in this throne of my father. Now, what I just need from you is just wisdom to lead your people. God said, you have asked wisely. Now, you'll be wise and you'll be rich. See, it is very possible for somebody to be rich and be foolish. Example is Nabal, the husband of Abigail. But it is highly unlikely for you to be wise and be poor. Because then you know where to invest. You know what to do. You know who to meet. When you meet God, when you meet the bread of life, don't ask for bread. I think Brother Gideon was mentioning, he said, seed to the sower and what? Bread to the eater. If you ask for bread, you will ask for another bread. And then you'll be saying, there is something that making me. Because if you ask for bread, you will come and ask for bread again. What happens is, you see the sower already has seed. Yes. Sower has seed, right? But he also has bread. But if you are eater, you can finish. Because you don't sow everything that you have. You don't sow everything. When you harvest, you pick a part of it. We used to harvest yam. When we'll put some part, I'll say, okay, this one, we are going to replant this one. But you already have one you are going to eat. But if you come to God and God gives you an opportunity, which is, and you have an encounter with God and you are asking for bread, I think it's a waste of encounter. Exponential growth is not bread. Exponential growth is being a blessing. So when we come to God and God gives you an encounter, what you should demand is being a blessing. Because if you're a blessing, you're already blessed. That you can feed 10 people extra means that you can afford to even eat yourself. That's what it means. But if you say, God, please just allow me to just... And that's what the same thing for people that used to say that, God, even if it's just, let me just manage and enter heaven, you might not enter. You say, God, even if it's let me crawl and enter, let me just... You don't want to make impact on the earth. You don't want to win this earth for God. You don't want to be a youthful person. You don't want to win souls. You just say, God, even if it's let me just manage, I just want to smuggle my way in. You might not enter. The reason is because you might not enter because you are aiming to just want to. God, may God have mercy on people that used to say that, those kind of things. We say, God, even if it's anywhere, let me just live in boys' quarters. You have lived in UK where you know they can do 3-bedroom and 1-bathroom. You still want to go and live in boys' quarters in heaven. I pity you. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. When you meet God, ask for a change of name. Ask for a change of status. Don't ask for a change of wardrobe. If you have a job that comes with wardrobe allowance, are you going to worry? But if somebody say, okay, I give you clothes, your clothes will finish, you still come back. But if somebody give you a job that comes with wardrobe allowance, are you worried about clothes? So when you meet God, don't ask for bread. It's the bread of life. Bread is settled. Major on the major. It was wisdom for Solomon to say, give me wisdom. If you are wise, you will be rich. But you can be rich and foolish. And that's what killed Nabal. And then finally, point number 7. How do you provoke divine encounter? If we open the book of Genesis 26, 23 to 25. Please, let's open this. If you can help us put it up. Genesis 26, 23 to 25. This is concerning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I want us to understand something from that scripture. And he went from thence to Beersheba. Move on. And the Lord appeared unto him same night, this Isaac, and said, I'm the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless you, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Let's stop here. The reason why God is blessing you is because I've already established a covenant with your father. Now, this was Isaac. It doesn't matter anywhere he moved to, he was always blessed. They will pursue him from somewhere, go to another place, he's always blessed. So you see, when you have a divine encounter, don't ask for a change of location. Don't say, God, please, I just want to Jakpa. Ask for a change of name, a change of status. So by virtue of that covenant that God already had with the father Abraham, he was already blessed. He didn't have to do anything else to be blessed. Praise God. So you have to leverage existing covenant. See, like, there are some people we hear that it doesn't matter how far you want to go astray. You even try to go astray, you find yourself that God will bring you back. God will go and find you in the midst of that trouble and bring you back, even in club. You go to club, they will sing worldly song, but you are hearing gospel inside the worldly song. You will carry your bag and leave the place. Dude, you think it's because of you? Your parents have prayed, they've served, they've done some things that God has said, I will never allow your seed to go astray. Some of the places that some of us have been to, and then God will come and find us there and bring us back and said, I will not allow you to waste this your life because of the way your father has served me. Because existing covenant, it speaks. The other one on the other side also speaks. Yes. So that is leveraging existing covenant. That's another thing to take note is that this month, God said, CLA, divine encounter. This year, CLA, exponential growth. So you see, that's something that you can take to God because it's an existing covenant. Pastor Patrick told us, he said, God said, this is a divine encounter. This is exponential growth. You can take that to God to say, based on this thing that you've told this, your servant, and I'm a member of this church, and you said this, I'm leveraging this existing covenant. The other thing about divine encounter, how you can provoke divine encounter, sacrificial giving. We saw that with King Solomon. They don't used to cajole somebody. They used to tell somebody to do this one. You know what you need to do. If you look at Luke 1:8-13, story of dedicated service, Zechariah, who's the father of John the Baptist, he was just doing his priestly duty. You know, they used to ballot who will go in, and the ballot fell on him that day. So he went in, and then he met the angel of the Lord, and that was how he had his encounter. It was in his place of service when he had the encounter with God. And finally, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you can put that up, humility in prayer. Humility in prayer. While that is coming up, divine encounter also comforts. Also comforts. Remember the story of Paul. I think Acts 27. The Bible said, while they were on the sea, there was a lot of trouble and storm, and they were worried for all of their lives. Even the captain, all of them were worried. Then Paul stood up. He said, don't worry, all of you. Nobody's going to die on this ship. said, because the angel of the Lord, whom I served, was with me last night and told me there will be no loss of. He said, because you must testify before Caesar, your life will be spared. And he said, because of you, I will also spare the life of all the people around you. So he told them, and that was comfort for all of them. Yeah, so let's put the scripture up. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Bible said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. But you notice he said, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves. Anybody that can rise up and say, God help me, already has some form of humility in them. Because you acknowledge that God is above you and God can help you. And that's what I want us to do even as we close. Think about it. Are you sensitive to God? That God can be in this place and you might miss God because the encounter is personal. Think about it. If God encounters you, what are you going to ask for? Because as he has come for you today, what do you want to ask him from him? What do you have to do today to provoke divine encounter? Shall we rise? When the glory comes, there will be no words to say. Oh. When the glory comes, there'll be no words to say. Oh, I want us to pray. Say, Heavenly Father, by your mercy, single me out for a divine encounter that will change my story for good. Can we go ahead and pray? You know, just like that man by the pool of Bethesda, that the mercy of God found him. Say, Heavenly Father, by your mercy grants divine encounter. Your mercy changed people's story. Grant me a divine encounter that will change my story. By your mercy, the same mercy that you used to found the man at the pool of Bethesda, let your mercy locate me. Humility in prayer is one of the ways that we can attract divine encounter. By your mercy, O Lord. Adu shata kafaka pata manda brateshe. My kaku shata fiazwati malabalagadash. By your mercy, O Lord. By your mercy, O Lord. Single me out and change my story. And change my story. And change my story. And change my story. Change my status. And change my name. Lakapa shata fakapakata manta prato shatelia kapa shete yete elebredo shete miene ko lebredo sezwete afapa shata lapa lakata badasha elebredo shate ya fai pako zata elefete tete tete pete kepekete lebredo shete miene mo shete La Prado Shate Yatelia Swate Fakapa Leco Capeca Teca Peca Teca Pen Lebredo Shate Femene Legade Elebredo Shate Yafia Swate Mamoma Elika Swata. Let your mercy locate me. Lika Pasha in the crowd, in the crowd, in the multitude. Let your mercy find me. Eshete Fete Peca Pen Elebredo Shate Peca Tem Elebredo Shate Yafia. Let your mercy find us, O Lord, in the midst of the multitude. Let single me out for your mercy. Single me out. La papa shapata. La brado shata kapa. La pako shate la piazuata. Ei papa sha. Elebredo shakete. Lefete te pete kepe. La prashete loko po shakete. Elefo papiasa. Iga patami anasha. By your mercy, O Lord. Ikate kate fazuata.
deliverance, what mama masha, a yapo pebiazete, divine encounter transforms life, changes life, divine encounter changes name, changes status, realize destiny by your mercy. Let your divine encounter change my story. Like I lepe lega de be, elefredo shete miya mo mamiya, elefas wata papa, iya papa papa papa, iya papa papa papa, manja prasha takapa, lepe na me na kete kepe, elefes wepe be, iya poleba lega bele, elekas wate ma ima wo miyama, manja pa la kapa, la prada shakata. If my people who are called by my name, they will humble themselves. I come in humility and I ask for your mercy, O Lord. If I pay pasha, ya papa papa, mana prata kapata, esha me na 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 na, ele preto preto me, esha poka preto preto me, eliete me, eliete me 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 me. Mashela fazwate, erate kapa, apa 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 apa. If my people who are called by my name, they will humble themselves, they will call upon me, decide that we answer. Asha pata kapa, divine encounter that brings fruitfulness, divine encounter that bring a change of name, that bring a change of status. Apa apa asha pata kapa, ala prato shakata. Le Fredo Shakataye Kapa Shakata Kapa La Brada Shakata Kapa La Brado Shateya Balagadas Erate Fakata. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will humble themselves, if they will humble themselves, Lord, we ask for mercy. We ask for mercy. Let your mercy find me in the crowd and change my story, and change my status, and change my story, and change my name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Prayer point number two. Say, oh Lord, as you have promised CLA this month for divine encounter, and this year for exponential growth, let me be among the first partaker. Can you go ahead and pray? This is leveraging covenants. Leveraging covenants. That there is an existing covenant with God. That this year is for an exponential growth. That I will not be left out. That Lord, you have promised exponential growth for your people. For us as a church. And you have promised me. As you have promised us. Divine encounter this month. Let me not be left out. This is the last Sunday. In this last Sunday, this is the last Sunday in this month of divine encounter. Encounter me, O Lord. Grant me an encounter. La papa shabakata. La pro papia zwate mande. Elefete pete kepe. Elebredo shemiete. Likapa shakata. There is an existing covenant. And I come to you, O Lord. I come to you, O Lord. Under that covenant, and I ask, Lord, grant me a divine encounter. And let me experience exponential growth this year, because this is your word, because there is a covenant already. There is a covenant. And I come to you, O Lord, under that covenant. The Bible Shapata. Shabada Kapalagadesh. When the glory comes, there'll be no words to say.
Just pray for God's servant.